God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Have you ever heard that? Of course, that's the first spiritual law that Dr. Bill Bright gave us from the four spiritual laws. And it's true. But wonderful doesn't necessarily mean that everything in life goes our way. There are times when there are bumps in the road. There are times when the mountaintop experience seems to disappear. There are times when we're in pain. There are times when we even feel, God, are you there? But what we need to remember is that even in those dark moments, God is there because he promised it. He said he would never, Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. This morning I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I may rearrange some of my message this morning just to accommodate our time. I don't want to keep you too long, but I do want to give you this message because it concludes a series that we've been working on through this month. We've been talking about being in awe of God's creation, and Pastor Jim has spoken to us about the first creation a couple of weeks ago, and then last week he talked about us being new creations, and I want to build on that this morning because this world that God has created us is the world in which we live and in which we are to make a contribution. This world in which we live is a place of brokenness and pain, as we've already seen, even in our own midst. And we need to know that God is with us as we travel. So as we look at Ephesians, we're going to look at the second chapter and a few verses there this morning. And I hope that this will be something that will encourage you, this, and perhaps prepare you for what God is doing in your life and wants to do in your life. God has a unique calling and a unique purpose for each one of us. And the passage before us is going to describe that and set it forth for us. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live." And the word there really is the word walk. In most translations, the NIV translates it as live, but it's walk. In which you used to walk when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I want to pause for a moment just on this word walk with you for a moment because it's important. Throughout the Bible, our journey, our life journey is described as a walk. Jesus picked it up in Matthew chapter 7 and he says, this is about our walk. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." This life that we live has two kinds of people. People who are walking the wide road. That's the largest group of people. People who choose to live their lives apart from God. Who want to be independent. Who want to have things go their way. And then there's another group who have entered through the narrow gate. It leads to a narrow road. And Jesus tells us only a few find it. Now, is it possible, we might ask ourselves, to travel both roads, to cover all the bases, to have our way and kind of pay lip service to God at the same time? No. No. God requires that we would choose the narrow way. Jesus also said this. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I say this because sometimes people we tend to think that we have many options, that there's lots of ways. I remember a church that I pastored. This man came, he claimed to be a Christian, amongst other things. And it's the amongst other things that got my attention. He said, you know, I have a problem with the idea that there's only one way to God. He says, I think there are many ways. And he said, for example, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a Buddhist. I said, really? He said, yes, I have some other religions that I'm interested in too. I'm sort of attached to Baha'i. I'm said, just a minute. I took him to this verse in John 14, and he said, that shouldn't be there, in my opinion. And I said, it is, and unfortunately, it has more authority than you do. We can't have it all ways. We have to have it God's way or not at all. But we don't travel this road in life alone. Jesus also told us in Matthew chapter 11 that when we travel this road to God with Jesus, he is always with us. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and that's every one of us, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, that the kind of thing that they put on an ox to put it to a big ox and then to a little one, a younger one, so that there's a teaching that's going on. And Jesus wants us to be yoked to him, he says, and you're so that we can learn from him, so he can lead us, so he can guide us. He says, then Jesus added, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and in me, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's the walk that Jesus wants for us. A walk with him through life, through all of its circumstances, ups and downs, the good times and the bad times, all of it. He wants to walk with us. He wants to lead us. He wants to show us the way. And that way leads ultimately to our Heavenly Father. So that's why in returning to Ephesians, Paul can go on and say, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, a God who forgives freely, has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Did you catch that? He made us alive even when we were already dead in our transgressions. You and I have life in Christ in spite of all of the darkness of our past. And for some, that may not seem that dark, but for others, you look and say, oh, I'm so glad that Jesus saved me. We're dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. He'll repeat this in verse 8 again, because it's important for us to realize that we have done nothing to earn our salvation. Simply saying the words, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, does not earn us the right to call God our Father. Jesus has made that way for us. It's his death, his resurrection, that has made it possible for us to be the children of God. It's a free gift. But like any gift, it can be received. I can give you a beautiful parcel all wrapped up with some great treasure in it, but if you choose not to receive it, you don't have it. Jesus has given us that great gift through the salvation that he's made available to us. Paul goes on, he says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You see, what we've begun to experience is something that's going to continue, not only now in time, but on into eternity. We have this fellowship with Christ. We have the companionship of the Holy Spirit. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who is providing for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So Paul comes back and he says it once again. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. Not by work. It is the gift of God. The free gift of God. So not by works, so that no one can boast. I'm glad I don't have to earn my salvation. I'm glad that all of my relationship with God is taken care of because of what Jesus has done for me. He gives me his Holy Spirit to walk with me, to be my companion day by day. He provides for my needs, and he does the same for you. So where does all this lead? Are we just here to enjoy the ride, to get ready and await the coming of the Lord? Not quite. Verse 10 says this. For we are God's workmanship. I'll explain that word in a moment. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to think about that for a moment. God's plan includes not only where we've come to, but where we're going. For every step of the way is planned by God. That's what makes it wonderful. That's what makes it amazing. We are here not simply to be consumers, but to be contributors. God has called us to serve him. What does that service look like? Well, it'll be a little different for each one of us because we all have different personalities, unique personalities. We all have unique gifts. I'm glad that I don't have to lead worship in this church. Pastor Randy does, because I don't have that talent. I don't have that ability. I can sort of make a song sound something like it's supposed to, but I don't do a good job of it. We all have unique personalities. Have you noticed that? We all have unique opportunities. God doesn't give each one of us the same opportunities. And we all had unique experiences, and those experiences have shaped us to make us the people we are. So I can't tell you what God has called you to do. But I can tell you that he has called you to serve him. I can tell you that he has called you to make a contribution. I can tell you that he has something for you to do. And your responsibility is to seek him, looking at yourself, sensing where he's leading you. And perhaps it's appropriate that at this season of the year that we would get to this place and talk about this matter, because we're beginning the fall season, and there are a lot of activities that are about to begin for the new season. And there are some things here in the church that you can be part of. You need to look around and say, hey, that's something that interests me. I'd like to be part of that. Then make connection with us so that we know that you have that interest. We'd like to build you into what we're doing. But perhaps you look beyond this church to the community. And maybe God is calling you outside the church to do something. There are lots of activities and ministries and opportunities within our community where we can serve and make a contribution, where we can take Jesus from this place out where we are. We need sometimes to be a little creative. We need to be a little bit perceptive about what's going on. But perhaps you've gone somewhere, you've maybe gone to the food bank, you know about the food bank, maybe you'd like to offer your services there. What I'm suggesting and what I think God's word is saying to us is that he wants a people who are not just spectators, but he wants people with feet and hands and minds that will serve him, that will take his word, not necessarily by preaching, but take his word in our lives. Because as we go, we'll have people ask us, as they have, and probably you many times, and me certainly, where people have said, what is it in you that makes you the way you are? Thank you for asking. It's God in my life that makes the difference. In me, there's nothing. In God, the possibilities are limitless. We were created to serve. We were saved to serve. God calls us to serve. And he has designed us specially. He's designed you and me specially to do some unique things. And friends, I'm going to be really short this morning, because I want you to respond to God's word, not just to my word. As we make ourselves available, as we follow God's leading, our lives will bring glory to God. And they will make our homes, because we serve even in our homes. We serve our family members. We'll serve our church. There are, as I say, many ministries, many opportunities here in our church family for you to serve and be part of it. There are many, perhaps more than we can even count, opportunities in our community where we can make a contribution. And then there's a world that waits beyond. A world that desperately needs God's people to be active, to be a force in these last days. God wants us to be all he's created us to be. And you know, when it comes down to it, that is our mission. I want to encourage you, I want to encourage all of us to embrace that mission, that calling, with passion. I'm going to ask Pastor Randy and the team to come back. I don't think you need more words from me. What you need is to hear God and to respond to his invitation. There are some of you here who have said, I don't think I have much to offer. And maybe you've never really made any kind of step forward to offer yourselves to God and to his service. But I want you this morning to say, at least consider doing that. And if you will consider doing that, I'm going to invite you to respond in just a few moments. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've been involved in ministry. You've been very active, perhaps in the church, maybe in the community as well. I want to bless you for that. But perhaps God's redirecting you. And maybe you're sensing this is a time for something different in your life. I want you to be able to feel free to respond to that. And then there's some folks that are up there in years like I have, and you can say, well, Pastor, I'm kind of done my time. It's time for the younger people to take it over. I want you to hear this, friends. You're not excluded. You're not. God doesn't have a retirement plan. I've learned that firsthand. I keep trying, and he keeps finding things for me to do. So I'm going to challenge you as well. I'd be happy if everybody in the church came forward and said, I'm willing to do whatever God has called me to do. I'm willing to go wherever God calls me to go. I'm willing to be whatever God calls me to be. So as we worship together, I'm going to invite you just to come. We're not going to take a time of praying for you. We're going to give you a time to come and offer yourself to God. I think we need to do that before we go on our way today. So Pastor Randy, if you would lead us, and you respond as the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together as we...